It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, up to 19,000 secondary school teachers across the Motu went on strike for a day over what they say is an inadequate pay offer of 1% each year for 3 years by the Ministry of Education. The union, the Post-Primary Teachers Association, or PPTA, say this pay offer is the lowest in a generation. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about the strikes and the ministry's pay offer. We also discussed New Zealand joining 26 other countries in calling for immediate and independent foreign media access into Gaza and to allow Israel to protect journalists reporting from within the besieged strip. The joint statement by the Media Freedom Coalition says journalists and media workers play an essential role in putting the spotlight on the devastating reality of war. Access to conflict zones is vital to carrying out this role effectively. We oppose all attempts to restrict press freedom and block entry to journalists during conflicts. I also spoke to Court about this, but first, we discussed last week's secondary school teachers' strikes. 1% is not a lot. What is the basis for such a low offer, and are you in support of this offer?
Well, this offer is made by the Ministry of Education to the teachers. It's not a government offer. But I will point out that teachers have received a 14% pay increase over the past 3 years. They also get 12 weeks annual leave, which is in stark contrast to the modest gains that most taxpayers and workers have had in their pay packets over that time frame. So it does appear pretty unreasonable that teachers have decided to go on strike over their pay offer, given where they're at. You know, there's got to be a bit of context around that. And yeah, they're also getting additional support in the classroom because the government's allocated a lot more money for teacher aides in the last budget. So, you know, on balance, I would say that, you know, 6 days of negotiations and then hiving off to have a strike does seem pretty unreasonable.
Speaking of those additional sort of things teachers do need, with the cost of living crisis making it harder to afford basic necessities, not just for teachers but for everyone, and these teachers potentially having to help implement the government's proposed education curriculum that would take over NCA, an ageing workforce and shortages in the sector, wouldn't such a low pay offer by the Ministry of Education be unenticing for teachers, especially for new younger teachers who may be more inclined to actually work overseas over better pay offers and better working conditions?
Oh, look, all of these things need to be in the mix when an employer is considering how to attract and keep talent. And so you're absolutely right. But of course, the other things that an employer needs to balance is what can they afford? And given that education has 2,500 or so properties, tens of thousands of buildings which require long-term maintenance, which has been underfunded for so many years, and where school boards haven't had the capability to actually manage their own property maintenance. Of course, there's improving literacy and numeracy outcomes. There will be some changes to the NCA structure coming. All of these things take time and cost money. So balancing how much money you've got and then what you can allocate it to is going to be absolutely vital to make sure that we get the settings right. Teachers' pay is just one of these matters.
A New Zealand Post-Primary Teachers Association spokesperson has said that more mediated bargaining between the ministry and the union will occur today and tomorrow. I guess this is a bit too early to say, but would you imagine this offer may change for teachers, or will the ministry stand strong on their current offer?
I certainly wouldn't speculate on a bargaining strategy by a government agency. That would be completely inappropriate. But I think I've set out some of the things that education as a department needs to be thinking about in terms of what budget it has, how much it can offer its employees. And I also say it's great that teachers have returned to mediation. I mean, some of these things take a while to work out, to really understand the other party's positions, to listen and to listen to understand. And, you know, going on strike after 6 days, as they did last week, seemed pretty unreasonable at the time. So, you know, I just encourage teachers and, you know, those listening to the show today just to be thinking about, you know, let's make sure we're listening to each other, understand what the long-term project is for education in New Zealand, getting us back to, you know, this kind of standards, educational standards that we were achieving 20 to 25 years ago at the start of the century, and that's the project.
On to our next topic. New Zealand has joined 26 other countries in calling for immediate and independent international media access into Gaza. This follows an Israeli strike killing six Al Jazeera media workers in Gaza City earlier in the month, with Israel's war on Gaza resulting in the deaths of over 200 media workers over the past 22 months. How does the ACT Party feel about these deaths?
Well, I think it's awful when people in the line of their work, whether they be medical professionals or humanitarian workers or journalists, are killed in a conflict zone. I also think it's important to be absolutely clear that the only journalists who have been working in the Hamas-controlled areas of Gaza where these fatalities and injuries have occurred have been there with the support and approval of Hamas. In many cases, their reporting has not just repeated Hamas propaganda lines, but some of these individuals, including at least one of those killed in that Israeli strike, have posted in support of Hamas's terror attacks on Israel and the murder of civilians on October 7. And they've been seen on many occasions in the company of Yair Sinwar and other senior Hamas leaders, and not wearing a press vest. So, you know, I think it's really important that we keep this in context, because in the end, you know, the truth will come out. Right now, we really only hearing from Hamas-approved journalists, if that's what they are, in Gaza.
Speaking more to those accusations, as you just said, the journalist that I think that you're referring to, Anas al-Sharif, Israel claimed as being affiliated with Hamas. However, Mohammed Shehada, an analyst at the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, said there was zero evidence of this. Could this not just be Israel justifying their killing of Anas al-Sharif and all these other journalists in the Gaza Strip?
Well, I have seen images which clearly link that individual to Yair Sinwar, and also to the posts that he put up on social media in the days following October 7 attack on Israel by Hamas. So, look, there may be differing views on the quality of that evidence, but again, we're sitting here in New Zealand speculating about these matters. I think what is really important, and I that's why I support the New Zealand government's position, is that at the moment, it's not possible to get different sides of the story or different opinions about what's going on inside Gaza within the Hamas-controlled area. So I think it would be really helpful to have some independent journalists, people you know who work for some of those networks that have been investigating reports coming out of Gaza and Lebanon, you know, around the attacks that Hezbollah were also planning around October 7. You know, if we could get some more of that information out into the public domain to balance this constant Hamas-supporting narrative we see in our mainstream media, I think it would be really helpful, and I would encourage the Israelis to respond along those lines.
Speaking more to what you were just saying and about New Zealand's calls for more immediate and independent international media access into Gaza, would you want this to include maybe New Zealand journalists on the ground in Gaza? And how would the government ensure in this case that these journalists wouldn't become another statistic? They wouldn't join the 200 other journalists that have been killed since October 7?
Well, New Zealanders work for all kinds of media organisations around the world, so I wouldn't be surprised if New Zealanders are covering what's going on in the Middle East right now from wherever they work, whether it's Qatar, if they work for Al Jazeera another capital. But of course, the New Zealand government can do very little to make sure that New Zealand citizens are safe in a war zone. Gaza is a war zone. Hamas attacked Israel on October 7. The Israeli government and its military have responded to that attack. And unfortunately for the civilians in Gaza that Hamas is hiding amongst, you know, they are also at risk because of Hamas's actions. But Hamas doesn't care about them. You know, in fact, they are part of its strategy. Civilian deaths, they're just shaheeds on the path to Hamas glory, which is establishing an Islamic state right on the borders of Israel. So, you know, New Zealand can't really do much to protect its own citizens, whether they're journalists or humanitarian workers, who are in that conflict zone.
Interestingly, New Zealand Zealand did not join countries such as Australia, the UK and Canada in denouncing Israel's plans to expand their presence in the West Bank. Why is this, and would you want New Zealand to join these calls instead?
Well, I don't think right now that it's helpful to be focusing on what you might say are over-horizon political issues, you know, like declaring a Palestinian state, for example. It's quite irrelevant to the situation that Israel is facing and that the international community could be and should be trying to help work out, which is how on earth do we get the last 20 remaining hostages who may be alive out of the clutches of Hamas? How does that happen without endangering the lives of so many civilians that Hamas is hiding behind? How is Hamas disarmed? And whatever administration takes over Gaza does not become a new and even more dangerous threat to the people of Israel and its neighbours Jordan and Egypt, who, you know, have signed long-term peace treaties with Israel. All of these matters, I would say, are far more important and urgent than whether somebody is doing a housing development in the West Bank right now. So, you know, that would be my perspective, and certainly I imagine there are many New Zealanders who would share my perspective.
That was the ACT Party Simon Court on last week's secondary school teacher strike over pay disputes and New Zealand's joining over 20 other countries in calling for Israel to allow international media access into Gaza.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.